So last night on CRTV, my guest was Matthew Brodsky, Middle East expert, geopolitical analyst, and senior fellow at the Security Studies Group. And we went over this issue of Jamal Khashoggi in fine point detail. But my first question was, which he said no one is asking, what does this have to do with the United States? And Matt is joining us right now. Matt, how you doing?
Very good. Good to be with you.
All right, let me pick up where we were last night, you and I. What does this have to do with the United States specifically?
The only thing that it could really have to do with the United States is if it turns out that this guy, Khashoggi, was actually an asset of either the CIA or was an asset of Saudi intelligence, of which there's actually becoming more evidence that could be the case, the further one digs into this. As far as it is from a humanitarian aspect, yes, this what happened was on foreign soil with someone who was not an American citizen. So it's not a problem for the United States to actually solve, even if it turns out to be the worst case scenario of what news organizations are recklessly reporting it is so far.
Watching any of the business headlines, there was a lot at stake here. I mean, the Saudi government is trying to reform its economy, is trying to encourage international investment, to see more Western brands, dare I say, enter the kingdom. I know that the WWE is not so sure they want to go there anymore. The Hollywood Reporter is talking about a loss of $400 million. There was this big economic conference, sort of G8 kind of summit that was supposed to happen there. Would they, if this doesn't sound like something a nation would risk over a guy like Khashoggi, unless you could tell me I'm crazy.
Well, first of all, if it turns out that Saudi Arabia and MBS, the Crown Prince, was responsible for this, then this is something that should be condemned, and we shouldn't want to see something like that happen. However, on a realist level, one then looks at what the nation is and how they fit into American foreign policy, which is to say, when Russia is actively undermining America's interests throughout the world, and specifically in the Middle East and elsewhere, and then they go and end up killing with a chemical weapons attack a former spy in London, then that should evoke a certain reaction from the United States, because Russia, who carried out such an attack, is not the United States' friend and is working against us. When you have Saudi Arabia, which is a country that is on a 2030 plan for reform, upon which a lot of the United States' Middle East policy is based right now, then the U.S. response is not to throw the bilateral relationship under the bus, therefore empowering Iran, or therefore empowering the Wahhabi sect of Islam, which is inside of Saudi Arabia, which is what spawned Al-Qaeda to begin with. So that's even in the worst case scenario, which it would be a botched operation.
But, right, two points here. One, during the Obama years with Hillary and later John Kerry at the helm, everything they touched in the Middle East turned to you know what, right? You know, we went around looking for regime change and ended up seeing people 10 times worse than the current leadership or the leadership that was deposed. And for the people that constantly go after, you know, Donald Trump or back in the day, George Bush, there's always a choice between bad and worse when dealing with many of these Middle Eastern countries. So is MBS the good guy? No. But as you said, the Wahhabists are 10 times worse. And the very people that are saying we should either seek regime change or break off relations are going to be the first people to be the critics when the Russians and the Chinese come in to fill the void.
Yeah, and even worse than that, what we know from Khashoggi is that he was a Muslim Brotherhood supporter up until even as recent as August 2018. He's publishing that as a headline in the Washington Post. this is something he was supporting. He was at the basically the foundation meetings that created Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. There are articles which he wrote for Arab News back in the late 80s, in April 1988, that I've read. You can see the screen caps of the full articles in which he's meeting with Abu Rida, with Osama bin Laden, with Abdullah Azzam, the founders of Al-Qaeda. So we already know that he has been supporting for a long period of time the wrong people. And we also know, of course, that the Obama administration had pursued a policy which was to basically promote the Muslim Brotherhood in the Middle East, in addition to Iran throughout the Middle East. So we have all of these usual suspects that fit within the U.S. political and media narrative, none of which is being reported on mainstream media, because there are reasons if you are in the Crown Prince and MBS's line of succession why you would be against this person who has been undermining the Saudi reform plan for a very long time and been doing so publicly.
Let me ask you this. One of the accusations is that the Crown Prince really can't pretend his fingerprints aren't on this. One of the alleged four members of the hit squad was one of his former bodyguards. What do you say about that?
Look, I'm still saying it's irresponsible for most news organizations to be reporting things that they don't yet have evidence of.
Have you met our media?
Right.
Have you met the people at CNN?
Right. These are coming from Turkish state newspapers and Al Jazeera, which is Qatari state-run newspapers, who are, incidentally, big supporters and promoters of the Muslim Brotherhood and are very much against Saudi Arabia. So the fact that we just treat what they say 100% without any suspicion at all. I mean, you have Turkey's president who blamed his economic downturn on the Jewish lobby and has blamed he has many wild theories. He blames the United States for the attempted coup in 2016. And so we should just now take on face value what he's saying. Number one is a media lesson. If you're going to be discussing then what if this actually happened, yes, then on a different level, if this happened, then there are a whole bunch of things we need to look at, such as what was Khashoggi's role as either an intelligence asset, or what was he doing against the kingdom? In which case, it still leads to a place where you would not be happy with what happened, if the reports are true, and you would not be promoting it, and you would say that there should be a penalty for it. But then you get into real politics, and you get into what America's interests are in the Middle East, and who we need to be aligned with. You know, these are the questions.
Matthew Brodsky is joining us. MatthewRJBrodsky.com. He is a senior fellow at the Security Studies Group. One last thing. The media was really pro-Iran deal, right? I mean, John Kerry was behind the scenes. Ben Rhodes, made it sound satirical, but it was true. There was a Iran deal echo chamber. The Saudi prince was more than happy to see Trump pull out of the Iran nuclear deal. Our media and the Democrats are super pro-Iran. Iran, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia, they're all in competition for dominance in the region. They all want to be the head of the caliphate. Our media seems to be framing this as a way to bludgeon President Trump, like somehow this is his fault personally. It's not. We know it's not. And if I don't think they would take the line, what difference does it make, like they did from Hillary?
Right. They're thoroughly 100% in the tank here. And for a free media, is just missing its obligation. Just this morning on MSNBC, John Brennan, former CIA director, he was not only employed by MSNBC, but he was there as a guest minutes after David Ignatius, Washington Post reporter, who's been keeping this in the news. Now, from 1996 to 1999, the American intelligence chief in Saudi Arabia was Brennan. At the same time, that he had contacts, of course, was the Saudi intelligence chief, which is Turki bin Faisal. Turki bin Faisal was basically from Saudi Arabia running Khashoggi. These are things that you would ask. You would ask if you're in the media.
But that doesn't.
John
but
Brennan's
well,
down
hold
there,
on.
What did you
it
know
can't
about
be
this?
Used as a weapon against Trump. The only thing that matters is how any of these stories can be used against Trump.
Right. Exactly. Which is the inevitable pre-written conclusion that's at the end of every news segment you're basically seeing in mainstream or legacy media. It's how do we get the story to fit the conclusion, therefore it's Trump, which of course gets back to your original question. What does it have to do with the United States then?
Well, I could tell you right now that the people who have an axe to grind with this president for moving the Israeli embassy, the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, you know, this is look at the way this president has put his immediate stamp on the Middle East. They don't like it.
Right.
They don't like the fact that on one side, he moved the embassy to Jerusalem, which was something that's been promised for, I don't know, 25 years, and pulled out of an unconstitutional Iran nuke deal. I got to leave it there. Matthew R.J. Brodsky, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.